All right, good afternoon, everyone. I want to echo my thanks to George and Stephanie for sponsoring and to Frohlich Financial Group, of course, for their unwavering support to our Dr. Yitzchak Belazon Beis Medrash and to the Afternoon Kollel in particular. The Afternoon Kollel is a point of great pride. Baruch Hashem, there is no Ben Azman, and we continue to learn no matter what's going on around us, and everyone else is retracting, and we are adding now 4 days a week of Afternoon Kollel. It's a beautiful thing, and so much of it is a tribute to our Rosh Beis Medrash, to Rabbi Simcha Shabtai. We thank you. Okay, we're going to finish our subject we began last week, and that is the topic of making of a gadol. When do you become a bar mitzvah and a bas mitzvah? Where does it come from? Why are those ages chosen? And what are some of the deeper philosophical reasons? What can we understand or learn about godless in general? What it means to be a, not a minor, what it means to be coming of age in general. So let me review quickly the sources we saw last week, and then pick it up from there. First of all, we saw the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, Ben Shlosh Yisrael Mitzvos, at 13, you are now obligated, you are bound by mitzvos. We have in this Mishnah captured the different pedagogy, the curriculum, at what age you learn different things. There's only one system I know, the Zimmerman system today, that continues to follow this order. But Shlosh Yisrael Mitzvos, where a boy is obligated at 13, a girl is obligated at 12. And we referenced last week, we didn't get into it in depth, maybe some point in the future, why is it Ben Shmona Yisrael L'Chuppah? If you're obligated in all mitzvahs at 13, why should the mitzvah, if you assume it's a mitzvah to get married, why should that be deferred 5 years until you're 18 years old, is a question that is dealt with, and maybe we'll come back to another time. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Beis, expanded on this and taught us that in terms of the obligation to fast, Yom Kippur, the fast which is De'oraisa, a boy becomes obligated to fast at 8 or 9 years old, you train him for a few hours. At 10 or 11 years old, midrabbanan, and he fasts rabbinically. And at 12 years old, a girl finishes midoraisa. A boy at 9 or 10 is trained a few hours. At 11 or 12, under rabbinic law, midrabbanan. And at 13, he becomes obligated midoraisa to fast. And this is what's codified in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 3, Tafresh Tazayin. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says, 12 in a day, 13 in a day. There are two criteria. Shalom v'simanim. You have to have reached the right age, and you have to have the simanim, the signs of puberty. And yahareim ki gedol v'chol ha-mitzvos. You're considered a gadol v'chol ha-mitzvos. If all you have are shalom and that simanim, then in fact we don't know. We haven't confirmed mida oraisa that you are a gadol. So how can you fulfill the mitzvah for others? So we have what's called gzera d'rabba. The gzera d'rabba is, we assume, Rabba taught us that we can assume that most 13-year-old boys and most 12-year-old girls, we didn't mention this last week, I don't believe, most 13-year-old boys and most 12-year-old girls, by the time they've reached that age, one can assume that they also have the signs of godless, that their body also reflects the maturity of godless. And you could rely on that for rabbinic law. That's why a bar mitzvah boy can get a aliyah, and he can lain and be motzi yasi in kriyas haTorah, even though we haven't confirmed the simanim. We don't see the shtei sa'aros. Some boys panic. They think that's why the rabbi wants to meet with him before his bar mitzvah. Chas v'shalom, God forbid. See, we have shanim we know from the birth certificate. Simanim we don't know, we don't need to know, we don't want to know. We assume the boy has the simanim because of the shanim. What do you do, however, for Parshas Zachos? The Mishnah Berurah quotes, and we have this almost every other year. We have a bar mitzvah on Shabbos Parshas Zachor. Parshas Shabbos Zachor, the reading of Zachor is midoraisa, not midorabanan. So therefore, we let the bar mitzvah boy read the whole parsha, and then we bring in a gadol who has a beard, a gadol who clearly, there's no doubt, to both shanim and simanim, who reads Parshas Zachor because it's midoraisa. To be motzias and a din d'oraisa, you cannot rely on the gzera d'rabbi. You cannot rely on the fact that if you have shanim, you have simanim. If you've reached ears, you also have the physical signs. And therefore, for Parshas Zachor, we don't rely on that. Where does it come from, this idea? We've seen it based on the Gemara in Yuma. We see it in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. We see it codified in the Shulchan Aruch. Where does it come from that a girl's bas mitzvah at 12, a boy at 13? So we saw several opinions. The Tshuvas HaRosh, Rabbeinu Asher says, Halacha l'Moshe Misena. It's a tradition. It's a tradition. Moshe Kiba Misena, Mesor L'Yoshua, Yeshua L'Zakenim, and so on. We have a tradition going back to Har Sinai. When Moshe climbed the mountain and he was there, Hashem told him, do you know when you're considered obligated in mitzvahs, when you've reached the age of maturity? The answer is a girl at 12 and a boy at the age of 13. Another reason which is given, the Pasuk says in Bereishis that Shimon and Levi concoct a scheme, a brilliant scheme, a scheme Yaakov later is critical of, but at the same time we read with a certain sense of pride, they pay revenge against Shechem, the son of Hamor, who raped their sister Dinah, by telling them you have to all get circumcised, the third day when they are the weakest, they go and they decimate Shechem and Hamor and all of the people. We referenced last week, this is one of the key sources for the question of collective punishment. Did they have a right? By what moral authority did they wipe out the people of Shechem? What did the whole people of Shechem, what did all those people do so wrong? Just because Shechem couldn't keep his eyes and hands off of Dinah, the hashtag MeToo for Dina. So Shimon and Levi avenge her violation, and the pasuk describes them there as Ish. And Rashi points out that later in source number 6, when the Torah tells us that Bnei Yisrael, Ish o Isha kiyasu mikochatos ha'adam limo mam ba'ashem, at what age, mikochatos ha'adam, what is the age of accountability for which you are responsible, mikochatos ha'adam, for the mistakes that you make? The fact that the word Ish is used in both circumstances, and we know Shimon and Levi were 13 when they avenged Dina's pride, therefore we can conclude that the age of accountability is indeed 13. Reason number 2. Reason number 3 is the Medrash Rabbah, Bereshis Rabbah, source number 7, Vayigdal Hayelad Vayigamal, the pasuk describes Yitzchak grew up and he was weaned. And the first opinion is, Nigmal miYetzahara. He was weaned from the Yetzahara. Now he had the capacity, the free will, the autonomy to make decisions, to make the right decisions. The Medrash says he was 13. You see, Vayigda, when do you become a Gadol? At 13. The Gemara in Sanhedrin gives us yet another reason. All this is a review from last week. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Ki yazid ish, ish mezid mazriya, ein katan mezid mazriya. It's very simple. You want to know at what age you are considered intellectually and emotionally mature? The same age that you are physically mature. And how? What is the definition of physical maturity? The definition of physical maturity is when you're capable of fathering a child. So a boy is capable of fathering at 13, a girl is capable of conceiving at 12. At least that was the understanding of the Gemara at the time. And therefore, ish meizid mazriya, inkatan meizid mazriya. If your body is telling you that you're capable of continuity, you can be the progenitor of another generation, then that means that you're capable of taking responsibility. And that's what Rav Volba writes in Alei Shor, in Chelek Aleph. He expands on this. I'm not going to read the whole section. We read it last week. I'll just read it to you again in the English for Chazara. Every person needs to know that from the moment that his reproductive organs begin to develop, he's no longer living in a personal, private state of existence. These physical processes enable him to be a parent to children, a progenitor of a new generation. The life that he received from the partners, his father, mother, and creator, he's now commanded to pass on to the next generation, together with the two partners, the spouse that God will send him, and Hashem that will reside between them. Preparation for the great responsibility of parenthood must begin from the initial moments of maturation. The young person must even then understand you will be a parent to children. So essentially, says Rav Volba, expanding on the Gemara, from when your body tells you that you're capable of fathering a child, it means you're also capable of taking responsibility. What is parenthood if not the responsibility to be able to be disciplined, to be able to be autonomous, to be able to take responsibility? Good. Rashi says in Ksubas, why a girl at 12 and a boy at 13? If we're assuming that it's a function of either Halacha Mamash Misinai, or we assume Ish, Shimon and Levi were 13 when they took responsibility for their sister, or you assume 13, Vayigdal HaYeled VaYigamal, that Yitzchak was 13. So, or you assume, as the Gemara says, it's a sign of physical maturity. So why is a girl a year earlier? So Rashi and Ksubas tells us, source 10, Shehi Mimaharas Lavi Koach She'ina Miteshas Koach B'Limud HaTorah. She has the strength to mature quicker. She matures more efficiently, faster. Why? Because learning Torah depletes our strength. Torah makeshes kocho shel adam. Person who learns Torah, many mistakenly think, they look at the kollel yungalite, they look at the bachram in yeshiva, and they think, ah, lazy, good for nothing. They're just sitting, passing the day, reading a book. All they do is read a book from morning to evening. You are in a kollel. Heilige kollel yungaman, the young men who are with us right now this afternoon, 4 days a week in the BRS afternoon kollel. You know what it's like to be in a kollel for a couple hours a day. Now imagine morning to night, you're pouring out over the Gemara, you're breaking your teeth on a Tosfos, you're trying to make your way through a Ketzos Reb Chaim. Torah macheshes kocho shel adam, to hold cup, and to concentrate, and to chazer, and to focus. It's exhausting. Sometimes it's exhausting. So men are obligated in Limud HaTorah proper, and that depletes them of their strength. Therefore, they mature later. A woman who is not competing to preserve or consolidate her strength, who rather is not obligated in Torah learning, matures even faster. Torah Tamima tells us, a girl becomes bas mitzvah at 12, a boy at 13. The body's physical development goes in tandem with emotional and spiritual maturity. And girls develop earlier physically, their emotional and spiritual maturity earlier too. Ask any middle school teacher and they will tell you that the girls are much more mature than the boys at an earlier age. That is davar yadua, that is built into the Bria, built into creation. The Rambam is Pesach Mishnayos, source 12. We're almost up to reviewing and finishing last week. He says that girls live a longer a shorter time. Also, gil nekevus la'onos nedarim lamata migil gvarim deshi yimei chayim pachas migvarim. Women have a shorter lifespan than men. Since women have a shorter lifespan than men, they therefore are considered to mature faster, and therefore the bat mitzvah is at 12, boys at 13. It happens to be today is the opposite. Today, life expectancy for women is 81.2 years, for men is 76.4 years. However, the story points out here in Source 12 that this is all a relatively recent phenomenon beginning in the 20th century. For much of history, the Rambam was right. Women didn't have as long a life expectancy, and therefore they are their bat mitzvah earlier. Source 13, the Medrash tells us that Rabbi Elazar says, this is the makor. Because the makor is only a medrash, not a gemara, therefore we omit Shemu Malchus. We don't make the bracha of Baruch Shepaterani invoking Hashem's name. The Gra disagreed in Source 15, and the Gra holds you make the bracha even b'Shemu Malchus. But the Shulchan Aruch in Source 14 tells us that Mishanasa Bano Bar Mitzvah, when your son becomes a Bar Mitzvah, you make a bracha, Shepaterani, v'tov the Baruch below Shemu Malchus. The Rama says, without Shema Malchus, because it doesn't have a makor in the Gemara, only the Medrash, the Gra disagrees, but Ashkenazi, our minag is, we do not make the bracha b'shem u Malchus. I once asked her, Shechter, Shaila, I didn't mention this last week either, that's why the Chazar is worthwhile, I always stick in some new stuff, a little bonus coverage, bonus features. So we had a Shaila, there was somebody whose biological father had essentially abandoned him, and was raised by his mother's husband, his stepfather. So at his bar mitzvah, even though the biological father was invited, but wanted the stepfather to say the Baruch Shepaterani, could the stepfather say the Baruch Shepaterani? You have much more core questions that come up when you have an adopted child or a stepchild raised by that step-parent who wants to know, could they list their father in the ksuba? Can they get an aliyah to the Torah called by that name? Not for now, but even more pressing questions. This was the question of Baruch Shepaterani. So if Shechta said, what's the question? We don't paskin like the Gra. We omit Shemo Malchus. We therefore are not risking saying Hashem's name in vain. It's not a risk of a bracha levatala. And therefore, yeah, if that's what the father, if that's what the child would prefer, the stepfather would prefer, the stepfather can say the Baruch Shepaterani. You're not saying it b'Shemo Malchus anyway. What do you see from here? You see that you're responsible to teach and to emulate and to model for the child until 13. What happens at 13? You're done. Now, you're never really done, of course. A parent is never really done being mechanech their children, ever. Doesn't matter what age your children. Doesn't matter what age your children. My brother's an emergency room physician, and he told me before this whole coronavirus outbreak, he told me that he was caring for somebody deep into their 90s, and their child, who was like 78 years old, pulled him aside and said, I don't know what to do. I can't do this anymore. I can't keep rushing my mother to the emergency room. I'm 78 years old. I can't keep doing this. So you can be 78 and your mother's still teaching you. You're never done. And so the chiyuv of chinuch never wears off on the one hand, but the formal obligation or responsibility, the fact that the parent bears the responsibility of the child, because any deficiency in the child at that young age reflects a failure of modeling or leadership in the parent. Baruch Shepaterani happens at 13. So you see from this din, from this medrash and the Shulchan Aruch, again, the notion that at 13, the child has the ability to now take responsibility, practice autonomy. The child is responsible for their own action and behavior when they reach that age. Okay. And that brings us up to where we left off, the Zohar. The Zohar introduced us, we moved over, now that we established 12 or 13, whether it's Halacha Moshe Sinai, or Shimon and Levi, or Yitzchak, Vayigdal HaYelad VaYigamal, or whether it's the different ages, or whether it's when you're capable of being a progenitor, all the different reasons we saw. We established 12 and 13. The question, though, is, why do we celebrate it? And what is the proper method? What is the proper way to be able to celebrate it? So the Zohar says, you should have joy in your heart. A tzaddik has joy in their heart on the day, just as when you take the child to the wedding. Just like when you take the child to the wedding, even during Corona, you have tremendous excitement and joy and happiness in your heart. So too when they become chuyav in mitzvahs, when they become obligated, responsible, capable of being held responsible for mitzvahs. And the Gemara in Kedushin expands, we saw last time. Gemara in Kedushin Lamed Alf. Rav Yosef was blind, and Rav Yosef said at first I was going to make a simcha yontif, I was going to sponsor Chinese food for the rabbis who would tell me that a blind person is exempt. Because I thought when you volunteer a mitzvah, that's when you get the most reward. But once I learned that in fact, you get the most reward not when you're exempt, but when you're obligated, now I'll sponsor the Chinese buffet for the rabbis who will say that a blind person is mechuyev in mitzvahs. But what do you see? That what's the proper reaction to learning that you're mechuyev in mitzvos, the proper reaction to celebrate, to acknowledge, to mark entering a chiyev in mitzvos is a Chinese buffet, General Tsao, celebrate with General Tsao. The proper response is a suda, a simcha, is a simcha. And based on this is where we left off. Let's read this inside together now. You can see it. Is the Marshal. Marshal says, sudas bar mitzvah she'osan Ashkenazim, lechora ein lecha sudas mitzvah gedolah mizu, ushma yochiach aleha. The Suda's bar mitzvah that Ashkenazim make, the fact that Ashkenazim invite everybody, in the old days it was for kichel and a shtickel shivas, today it's already for a Suda's shlema, like you make a Suda like a king. So, but the Suda's bar mitzvah that Ashkenazim make has the status of a Suda's mitzvah, has the halachic status of a Suda's mitzvah. And the name, namely that we call it a bar mitzvah, will support that fact. Osin simcha ben osin lamakam shavach, we make it joyous and we give praise and gratitude to Hashem. Shezocha narlius bar mitzvah. The gadol ha-mitzvah va'osa va'av zocha shegadol ad ato lachnisa b'birsa ha-toyra b'chlala. What are you celebrating? First of all, this child didn't die in childbirth. This child didn't die as an infant, adolescence. The child made it to 13. The child at 13 now enters the geder, the bechina of being a bar mitzvah, is obligated in mitzvahs. We saw just now from Rav Yosef that gadol ha-mitzvah va'osa, it's greater to be obligated than to be volunteering. And the father is celebrating that he merited to be able to bring the child to this milestone. Right? The hedges of parakam at the kedushin, shom Rav Yosef v'asof, and then he quotes this whole gemara in kedushin that we just saw. And based on that, the Maharshal concludes that a bar mitzvah is a geshmak sudas mitzvah. Celebrate music, food, fleisch, speeches, all the things, all the different components that make for a beautiful bar mitzvah. Koshken al Eitzvah Zman, Shor Lassos Yontif, Achein bar mitzvah gufa, Sheinosim Bezman al Yashar Be'inai, Ruben Einlam Beis Aros, V'mkein Yechitziu, and then he goes on and he gets into some of the technicalities of it. But this is the notion. The Magen Avraham, source 19, Rav Avraham Gambina, the Magen Avraham in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, writes the following. Bar mitzvah, he says, she mitzvah shel adam lasos ala adam lasos suda biyom shenasu bino bar mitzvah ki yom shenechnas l'chuppah. He's quoting the Marshal, and he says, there is a mitzvah to make a simcha. You would never think on your not to mark your child's wedding. You can mark it more modestly, you can mark it more extravagantly, but you mark the child's wedding. So similarly, you should mark when the child enters a bar mitzvah. Mishamash dainu biyom shenechnas l'shnas yedalad. And how do you calculate it? How do you calculate when they enter the bar mitzvah? Oh, how do you calculate when they enter the bar mitzvah? So, we calculate years differently. When it comes to mitzvahs, tefillis, bar, it's trumas and maestros. When it comes to mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah, how do you calculate what year is it of the king? When you calculate Shemitah, how do you calculate time? Is it objectively the passage of full years? Years comprised of 365 days times however many years. Is it the beginning of the day on that anniversary that marks the completion, the transition? Or do you need what halacha calls me'es le'es? In other words, let me put it to you like this. If I was born, I happen to have been born on Chav Vav Kislev. If I was born on Chav Vav Kislev, I was born on Chav Vav Kislev at night, I believe. If I was born on Chav Vav Kislev, call it 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Do I not become bar mitzvah until Chav Vav Kislev 13 years later, 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Shachar is that day. I'm not mechuyev midoraisa. You never chayev in shachar is doraisa. But whatever mitzvah, I'm not really chayev earlier than 2 o'clock. Do I require me'es le'es? I need 13 years and the amount of time me'es le'es to calculate exactly based on when I was born. So you better keep that little thing they put in the crib in the birthing unit where they write down the exact time. Somebody's got to mark that down. Because you've got to know exactly the time, because 13 years later, exactly that time. Or do you say no? The night before, the beginning of the day, 13 years later, it doesn't matter what time of day you were born, you become born. So that is a machlokas. Tosfos in Nida writes that for most halachas, me'es le'es requires one to wait for the specific moment of the day. But Tosfos in Erchin presents two opinions, the same as in Nida, but then he presents the second opinion that no, the beginning of the night before, it is the beginning of the 14th year that you become obligated in mitzvahs. You don't have to wait me'es le'es. You don't have to wait the 24 hours. This is a big machlokas harishonim. It's machlokas the Gaonim. The Netziv comments on the Shiltos of Rav Achai Gaon that the Shiltos weighs in on this question. And the Netziv there in his Hamek Shela writes that had other poskim seen the Shiltos, they would not have rejected this position. Because most poskim, the majority of poskim reject Tosfos in Nida and reject the opinion of the Shiltos, and most poskim, most of the Achronim hold at the beginning of your 14th year. In other words, I was born Chav Vav Kislev. I think I was born at night. I see my father, Dad. I was born at night. I believe I was born at night because the story goes my father insisted on singing all of Mal's Tzur before he would take my mother, who was in labor, to the hospital. That's what I only know the story of how what time they left to the hospital. What time I came out, I don't remember. I think I was born at night. But let's say I was born 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So am I bar mitzvah 13 years later, Chav of Kislev, only 2 o'clock in the afternoon? At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm still a katan. I'm not a gadol. I can't testify. I can't say, get an aliyah. I can't lead the yamud. Or no. The night before, Chav of Kislev comes. Sun sets, 3 stars. It's Chav of Kislev. Punkt, I'm a gadol. I'm a chuyav in mitzvos. So today is in Tosfos, Machlokas Rishonim, and the Poskim, the Shach and the Bach, and Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, both are of the opinion that with the arrival of the 13th, with the arrival of the beginning of the day, your 13th birthday, that's when you are Mechuyav, and that is the opinion that we, for the most part, Paskin. I don't know anybody who doesn't Paskin like that. I don't know anybody who waits Me'es Leis to say that you're Chayav. You're Chayav from the beginning of that day. So you see that just like you make a Simcha Sudas Mitzvah to mark a wedding, so too, to mark a entrance into the obligation of mitzvos, you should make a Suda. Maybe the Suda should be at night, because that's when you began. Maybe it's the next day. Maybe you can defer when you make the Suda. Is it only on Bo Biyom that the Suda is a Sudas Mitzvah? On the day of the Bar Mitzvah? But if you defer or advance, then it's not? I don't know. I see Gordon asks, how do we know Shimon and Levi were 13? Rashi says they were 13. I don't know exactly how we know that from. So the Magen Avraham quotes this Marshal that there's a Sudas Mitzvah. The Marshal's Lashon was, Ein Sudas Mitzvah Gedola Mizu. This is the greatest Sudas Mitzvah you're going to make, entering mitzvahs. The Lubavitch Rebbe Zatzal, source 20, just marked his Yuritzite in Tammuz. He writes the following, Yom Bar Mitzvah Bas Mitzvah Yom Segula. Simcha Gedola Biyoser. Shekem bo biyom nasa habar mitzvah ish Yisrael b'shleimus, Yehudi shalem, chilek mikol am Yisrael achel mimatan Torah atzov kol adoros, v'nimtza sheyom habar mitzvah b'chayev ha-pratiyim, hu adas dugmas hayom hazan yes la'am, deklalos am Yisrael. A very powerful passage that he writes. He says, the day of the bar mitzvah, or a bat mitzvah, he points out, is a cherished day, it's a yom segula. This is the day the Bar Mitzvah becomes complete, part of Klal Yisrael, part of the nation who stood at Har Sinai. So that day is compared to the day on which the entire Jewish people became a nation. What we experience collectively as a people at Har Sinai, it's a beautiful image. If you have to give a Bar Mitzvah speech at one of your Einik Lach, this is a beautiful speech for the Bar Mitzvah. You're describing, the Lubavitch Rebbe describes, the Simcha and the Suda of the Bar Mitzvah is no less than the holiday of Shavuos. It is a Kabbalah Satorah, it's Yom Matan Torah. Just like we accepted a Kedushas Yisrael, just like we were transformed to become true Jews. And what is the definition of becoming true Jews? Being obligated in mitzvos. Just like we became obligated in mitzvos, we got a Kedushas Yisrael at Har Sinai collectively, nationally, as a people. So too, individually, a girl at 12 and a boy at 13, it is their individual, their personal Yom Matan Torah, Yom Kabbalah Satorah, and therefore they become Shalem. It's a Yom Segula. The same Segula, Yom Segula, that is involved in the holiday of Shavuos, is involved in the day of the Bar Mitzvah. And interestingly, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was very makbid, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was very careful, if you read his biographies, or those who knew him and lived through this, he was very careful to make young women, to make girls feel they have an equal opportunity, invitation, access, participation in Yahadus and Torah. When the Tzavos Hashem came out, when they put out their magazines to get children involved, and they brought them, the Rebbe approved of everything about it, from the logo to the cover of every magazine. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, where are the girls on the cover? It's very appropriate in this whole conversation about covering the images of women. The Lubavitcher Rebbe insisted that there be pictures of girls on the cover of these magazines, because if girls never saw themselves in the image of who they were meant to be, the lives they were meant to aspire to live, they would have nothing to look up to. So here too, you see that Lubavitcher Rebbe references Bar Mitzvah O Bas Mitzvah. Rav Shach, I'm trying to make peace in the world. I'm trying to bring Mashiach by having the Rebbe and Rav Shach on the same page in a source sheet. Not so simple. So source 21 is Rav Shach. And Rav Shach says the following, what is the joy of a bar mitzvah? Let us contemplate the normal idea of human life. Many people make it an annual celebration of their birthday. The celebration is hard to understand. What significance is there in a birthday? Surely if a person is decreed to live for 80 years, it reasons that every year he has 1 year less to live. When he's 10, only 70 years remain, 10 years have passed. When he's 20, 60 years remain. When he's 50, only 30 years, and so on. Why then does a person celebrate his birthday, which only denotes another year closer to death? That's pretty sobering. But it's also pretty persuasive. Why then does a person celebrate his birthday, which only denotes another year closer to death? It should not be called a birthday, but rather a death day, because you're closer to dying. Wow, I'm glad that in the Shach home, it probably wasn't a lot of fun on your birthday. However, somebody who believes in Hashem and observes Torah mitzvahs lives eternally in this world and the next. As Chazal write in Brachos, the righteous are considered alive even in their death, tzadikim b'misasim krim chayim. For him, a birthday is truly a birthday, for on each year he gains a new element of eternal life. This too is the underlying theme of a bar mitzvah. A person becomes obligated in mitzvahs, and by means of mitzvahs he's able to acquire eternal life. Every year does not diminish his lifetime, but rather increases it. Even in death he's considered to be alive. Therefore we celebrate a bar mitzvah, for the keeping of Torah and mitzvahs a person lives eternally, and one who believes in God is a partner in the construction of the nation and lives forever. This is the greatest of all joys. A very beautiful perspective of Rav Shach. Says Rav Shach, it's not a death day. Only if you believe in the immortality of the soul, only if you believe that Torah and mitzvahs are what gives us immortality, is it really a birthday, not a death day. Are you really increasing your life, not diminishing or depleting your life? And what begins it, what transforms it from death day to birthday? It is your bar mitzvah. It's at 13. Source 22. I love this word. I've said it in many bar mitzvahs and bas mitzvahs. I found it in the Sefer Niglos V'Nistaros B'Yadus, Rabbi Yehoshaphat Elbert. I don't know who he is. I found it. I knew the Vort, but I wanted to show it that it came from somebody, so I found the sword on Otsar Chachma, but I don't know who he is. The obligation of mitzvahs is automatic. It begins from the moment the sun sets on the day a child becomes bar mitzvah. We showed that was 2 days in Tosus, Machlokas, but that is how the Shach and Bach Paskin, that when the sun sets on the day we become bar mitzvah. You know, we all know there are unaffiliated Jews who at 70, 80, 90 years old will say, I'm having my bar mitzvah. Right, they have renewed, awakened within themselves, a reawakening of Yadus, and they have an adult bar and bat mitzvah. It's a beautiful outreach tool. It's a wonderful thing. My mother, who taught adult ed for many years, had an annual bat mitzvah celebration for these adult women who never had their bat mitzvah. So the truth is, it's a nice way to frame it, and it's a beautiful celebration. It's a nice thing to put on her certificate, and we don't want to tell them, but they became a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah when the sun went down on their 12th or 13th birthday. From that day, they're held responsible. From that day, they're accountable. From that day, they're mature. Whether you're observing it then or not, it's something that happens to you, right? When people say, I was never bar mitzvahed. How old are you? 72. Yeah, you were bar mitzvah, and it was many years ago. You had your bar mitzvah, but it happens automatically. Therefore, unlike somebody who acts improperly, we attach the term son, right? What the Sefer is asking is the question, why do we call someone who does chesed a baal chesed, the husband of chesed, a balas chesed, and we call someone a bar mitzvah. Bar is Aramaic for ben. Bar means the son of a mitzvah. Bas mitzvah means the daughter of a mitzvah. So why do we call someone a bal chesed, a bal tztaka, but we call them a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah? It's a good question, right? I hope you're taking notes. I'm giving you all the speeches for your grandchildren's simchas coming up. Please God, you should be healthy and well and go and attend in person. So why do we call one bal and one a bar? And what he answers is the following. When it comes to chesed, when it comes to tzedakah, the relationship could be temporary. Maybe today, maybe this year, you do a lot of chesed, and then it grows old or tired or stale. Maybe you stop doing chesed. Maybe you're generous, you give a lot of tzedakah, and then it grew old. You ran out of money, you ran out of patience, you stopped giving tzedakah. So that relationship is like marriage. You're married, you're in love, but you can get divorced. You're a baal, you could have marriage, and when you fall out of love, you can become an ex-baal. You can become divorced. So the relationship with this virtuous act, a virtuous behavior, is characterized as baal. It's as if you're married to that virtuous behavior that you can fall or grow out of love with and become divorced from. But when it comes to Torah and mitzvos, you can't divorce it. You can't relinquish it. You can't annul it. You're a bar mitzvah or a bas mitzvah. It happens to you. It is part of who you are. You can't stop doing it. Let's read what he says inside. He says, "Hischayvazu automatis mishagia hayom akoveya v'ashemesh tishka nasa anar bar mitzvah miblisha tidros haskamo hischayvusu mitzido." Whether you agree to it, whether you enter it, whether you're interested in it, it happens automatically. Lachen behevdal meha over aveira anu koshin roshah shel bar mitzvah keser haben. So, what do we call somebody who does an aveira? I gave the positive example of chesed and tzedakah, but you can frame it in a negative example or a negative context. What do you call someone who does an aveira? A bal aveira, a bal aveira. Why are you a bal aveira? But you're a ben Torah and a bar mitzvah. You ever wonder? You're a baal aveira, you're the husband of aveira, but you're the child of Torah and the child of a mitzvah. Gama hevdal harayoni ben tari ben uben ubaal berur mishmizidim. Haben me'etzem leidaso ben. From when you're born, those are your biological parents, they are your parents forever, it's undeniable. You may not like them, you may disown them, but they're your parents. And you can never, ever, ever deny that. It's a fact, it's a reality. Uliolam yoyachta li karikach. It doesn't matter if you're distanced from your father or from mitzvos. We are always Yisrael. And therefore, we're a bar mitzvah, we're a ben Torah. But when it comes to an avera, baila zu overas vechofela fasayde tshuva charata, you can divorce the averas you've done. You can purge them, you can remove them, you can transcend them. Eina avera tivua bobi yisodo. The avera is not imparted, implanted inherently within you. It's not fundamental to who you are. Hinasta mikoach habachira kayemes ben shtei alter neviot. Ubechira zu kayemes gam la'achar shavar avera. So you're a Baal Avera, you can divorce your pattern of doing Averas, but you're a Bar Mitzvah and a Ben Torah because that is a permanent relationship, it's irrevocable relationship. It is part of the definition of who you are. And that's what we tell that child. Now the Rebbe says here in a footnote, another notion. So one of the ideas of Bar Mitzvah is to realize our son, our daughter, to think about ourselves. What is godless? What does it mean to be a gadol? What it means to be a gadol is to take seriously my responsibility, my relationship with Torah. It's not casual. I can't be divorced from it. I can't walk away from it. I can't annul it. I can't nullify it. My relationship with Torah, my relationship with mitzvahs is I'm a bar mitzvah. I'm a bas mitzvah. Irrevocable. It's something that cannot be annulled. Other behaviors I can do, I can stop doing, I can divorce. This is something which is permanent, it's part of who I am. And being a gadol is the maturity to realize and recognize that that's my relationship with Torah and mitzvos. Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal gives another interpretation of godless, another message, another musar of godless. What does it mean, godless? Look at footnote 74. I'd read to you from above, but I'd butcher the Yiddish and I'd offend you and the Rebbe and the Yiddish language. But look at footnote 74. He says the following. Apia mavur ba michtav. This comes from Beis Tammuz, Tov Shin Chof. Sheish mora al gadlus de sechel. Yeshlama shamasha hadin de ben shloshes or the mitzvahs nelman mi vayichu ish harbo. Miramis shagam ba avoda api tarchlios haaris koach hamasiris nefesh shalamala. A person has to be able to be moser nefesh. You know what godless is? Shimon and Levi are 13 when they stand up for their sister Dina. So says the Rebbe, you know what godless is? Godless is when you stand up for a brother or sister. Godless, maturity. You know what happens at 12 or 13? You stand up for the Jewish people. 12 or 13 is the age in which you take responsibility. And you see this also when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Pasuk describes that Moshe leaves the palace, Vayigdal Moshe, he's a gadol. What is godless? What does it mean to be mature? What is the making of a gadol? What does it mean to be a bar mitzvah? Vayigdal Moshe means Vayetze Elochav Vayar B'Sivlosam. It means to go out to your brothers and to see their suffering and to try to relieve their pain, to try to protect them. Shimon and Levi, Vayigdal, they grew up. What does it mean that they were a gadol? They stood up for Dina. Moshe, Vayigdal Moshe, what does it mean that he Vayigdal? It means Vayetze Elochav, to go out. You see, you have some people who are 60, 70, 80 years old and they're children. All they think about is themselves, all they care about is themselves. They do nothing to defend the Jewish people. They do nothing to care about others, to relieve the pain and suffering of others. And you can have children who show godless even at a young age because Vayetze Lachav Vayar B'Sivlosam, they go out and they care. Says the Rebbe, what godless means, you know what godless means? Godless is, like Shimon and Levi defend Dina, like Moshe, Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze Lachav, godless is to care about a fellow Jew. Godless is to stand up and defend a fellow Jew. Godless is to be mature, to be responsible, to truly be a gadol. I don't mean a gadol like the Muetzes Gedolei Torah. I mean gadol, to be a bar mitzvah boy or a bat mitzvah girl doesn't mean to have some logo designed for your yarmulke. It doesn't mean to have some sports-themed bar mitzvah or party. It doesn't mean to be able to buy your Israel bonds. All those things are lovely and beautiful. It doesn't mean to have the sushi or you can eat buffet. What it means is, now you're an age where you're responsible. Start giving tzedakah. Start taking maaser from your birthday presents. Start volunteering and giving. It means Vayigdal Moshe. It means Vayitzel Lachav, Vayar B'Sivlosam. It means you are the age that you're capable of going out. Lastly, second to lastly, I should say, in Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter records, in his intellectual biography of the Rav, of Rav Soloveitchik, he records the following. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that Shimon HaPakuli, Hizder Yurches, Brachos of Nerev, Gamil HaSeder B'Yavna, that we know that we were instituted the Shemona Esrei. Shemona Esrei are the 18 Brachos that we recite, the Shemona Esrei. So in that Shemona Esrei, Amar Gamil HaMacham, Klum Yesh Adam Sheyodeh L'Sakim Birchas HaTzadukim, we had 18 brachos, 3 of praise and 3 of gratitude, and 13, we had 12, reflecting the timeless needs that we would all always have. But there came a time, there were tzadukim, there were these Sadducees, we had these heretics, we had these enemies and adversaries, and we wanted to institute a bracha. We wanted to add to the daily tefillah a bracha that we would triumph and we would defeat those who sought our spiritual demise. So they needed, who was the one who they asked? Amad Shmuel HaKatan v'takna, tikna. Shmuel HaKatan got up, and he was the one who wrote the bracha of V'lam Ashin, the 19th bracha. V'kvar amdu akach m'for Hashem chiyodu sh'ar tanayim eich l'saki nisach klaus tzedukim. Why did it take Shimon HaKatan? They had to recruit, they had to interview, they had to ask around. Nobody had the creativity to author a bracha to be able to offset, defeat the tzedukim. Ubir b'zer Rabbeinu b'shem ha-gaonim Rav Kook and Rav Lipschitz Mikalish. So Rav Soloveitchik quoted these great leaders who said, whenever you're establishing something new, it has to be l'shma. They were worried, what if one of the rabbis who wrote this bracha had a personal agenda? What if one of the rabbis would institute within this bracha their own grievance against the tzdukim, against the minim? So the salik me'alav tzaras haminim. Maybe one of the great tanaim was harassed and bullied by one of the minim. So if you asked him to write the bracha, he would have this ulterior motive, this agenda in writing the bracha, and anything that's being introduced that's new, chiddush, requires l'shma. It has to be done for pure reasons. L'kachu tzruchu l'shmo l'katan, sh'ayatamid margila b'pume, bin polo ivecha al tismach. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that Shmuel HaKatan would walk around, and he had a saying. He would regularly say the pasuk that says, bin polo ivecha al tismach, don't celebrate the downfall of your enemies. So because Shmuel HaKatan was always saying, don't take joy in the downfall of your enemies, he was the only one that we can trust who would have no ulterior motive, who would write the bracha with ultimate sincerity. And therefore, he was the right person to say, to write the bracha of V'lam Hashinim, because it was l'shma, there was no ulterior motive. So I've heard Rav Schechter speak at a bar mitzvah, where he quotes this pshat of the Rav on this Gemara Brachos, why Dafka Shmuel HaKatan was recruited to write the bracha of V'lam Hashinim, and he says the following. Why was he called Shmuel HaKatan? What was he, 4 feet tall? Why was he called Shmuel HaKatan? He was 11 years old? Of course not. Shmuel HaKatan was one of the great Tanaim. Why was he called Shmuel HaKatan? Because Shmuel HaKatan, everybody around him, became hardened and sarcastic and became bitter at their enemies and adversaries. Shmuel HaKatan, he had the innocence and the purity and the love. He never lost that innocence, that zest for life, that optimism, that joy. Ben Folay Vecha Al Tismach, he couldn't even celebrate the downfall of an enemy. He had this love for life. He was Shmuel HaKatan. He was Shmuel, the young one, that even after he became mature and old, even after reaching the age of majority, he never lost the innocence and the joy of his youth. And that's what it means. We say, Zakatan Gadol Yiyah, you become a Gadol. And it's beautiful to become a gadol, but even as a gadol, remain a katan. Never lose the innocence of being the katan. You know, we say it a bris, a katan gadol yiyah. Rabbi Soloveitchik, we have just a couple minutes left, so I'll tell you two more quick things. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, what's pshat zeh katan gadol yiyah? So a katan zeh gadol yiyah means, may this little one become big. So the simple understanding is this little pitzkala, this tiny little thing that fits on my lap right now, may he grow big, large, and in charge. May he become a full-fledged man. My uncle, Rabbi Eli Lazar, Zichron Levracha, once interpreted, Zeakatan Gadol Yiyah to mean Zeakatan Gadol Mimeni Yiyah. You know what the bracha we're giving this little pitzkala is? Zeakatan. Right now you're a nothing, but Gadol Mimeni. You know what my bracha is? You should become smarter than me and more successful than me. You should become more righteous than me. You should become more bigger Talmud Chacham and more Makbid and Torah Mitzvos. A lot of people want their child to stay, get right up to me and no more. Don't become more religious, don't become more this, don't become more that. No, Zeh Katan Gadol Mimeni Yiyah. The biggest bracha is this little katan who now is less than me, may you grow to become even greater than me. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, if you want to know what the difference is between katan and gadol, go back to Sefer Bereishis. The moon is called the Maora Katan, and the sun is called the Maora Gadol. The moon is called the small constellation, and the sun is called the great Maor, the great source of light. What's the difference? Rashi there tells us. The sun is the source of light, and the moon just reflects the light. So Rav Soloveitchik said, that's the pshat, zeh katan gadol yiyah. We look at the little baby and we say, right now you're a katan. When you're a minor, what does it mean that you're a minor? All you are is a reflection of those who came before. All you are is a reflection of your parents. All you do is spit back and mimic and imitate what you saw in others. Zeh katan, may you, who right now only reflect, gadol yiyah. May you become a source of light yourself. May you yourself become the main source of light. What is the first mitzvah, bar mitzvah boy is obligated, bas mitzvah girl? We said this machlokas, but we pask in the Shach Taz and Choshen Mishpat that your 13th or your 12th birthday, the beginning of your 13th or 14th year, you don't have to wait Meis La'is. It doesn't take till 2 in the afternoon. You become obligated. So, punkt. Tzeis HaKochavim. Three stars come out, you're a bar mitzvah. You're a bas mitzvah. What's your first mitzvah? So some say your first mitzvah is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. The very first mitzvah is to see and to acknowledge Hashem. Say Shema. Take your right hand, cover your eyes, and say Shema. First mitzvah you do, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. But the Chassam Sofer in his drushes on Parshas Vayechi, the Chassam Sofer gives another answer. Chassam Sofer says, you know what the very first mitzvah you do when you become of age? You mekayim the mitzvah of being besimcha. The first mitzvah, the sun goes down, smile. Smile. Being besimcha is also a mitzvah. Being happy is a mitzvah. And the first mitzvah that a child does when they become a gadol, when they become the age of majority, is you teach them how to be happy. And that's along the lines of Shmuel HaKatan. Don't lose that innocence. Just because you became an adult, don't become miserable, fabisana, sarcastic, negative. Shmuel HaKatan, stay a katan. Keep that innocence, that joy, that zest for life. We'll continue with a similar theme to this Amir Tashem next week. Wishing everyone a wonderful day. And you're invited to remain, of course, for the one, for the only, for the great Rabbi Moskowitz.